Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's talk about Iran, because in order to understand what is at stake, we need to try and understand what Iran's capabilities are. Tehran has been engaging with the UN's nuclear watchdog. That's been over a period now. Of course, the United States has upped the ante, and with the military threat being held over Iran, the question is, what will come out of these talks, if anything? But we want to really try and figure out what Iran's uranium enrichment capability is, what has been destroyed, and how far are they away from weapon-grade enrichment. Joining us this morning to help us understand it, is Dr. Amit Mor. He is the CEO of Eco Energy Financial and Strategic Consulting. He's a senior lecturer at Reichman University in Herzliya. Dr. Mor, a very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. What do we understand about Iran's current uranium enrichment capability?
Good morning, Howard. So as we understand, Iran still possesses about more than 400 kilograms of enriched uranium. They are able, and probably still are able to enrich uranium to 60%. Which is not far from the 90% enrichment level which is required for atomic bombs. And it appears that they still have in their possession some nuclear sites which were not damaged or which were rebuilt since last June's attack. So that's their capabilities. And today, in the second round of talks, we understand that the Americans are determined in their request that the Iranian will give up their nuclear program, that they will transfer the 400 kilograms of enriched uranium, that they will agree for international inspection. That's on the nuclear issue. In addition, I hope that the Americans will raise the issue of the ballistic missiles of the Iranians. They possess more than about 2,000 ballistic missiles, still possess. And also the sponsorship of their
global terror
the proxies, the Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, and so on.
So technically, how difficult is it for Iran to weaponize this enriched uranium that they supposedly have?
As we understand, the Israeli and American attacks last June caused major damage to their program, but they seem willing to continue to resume the program, to continue with the enrichment, to continue with the development of their nuclear power. And they are excellent negotiators. And the first round, it seems not to be willing to compromise on those issues. So the truth is that we don't know. No doubt that they suffered major damages to the program last June. But they have a long-term view and a long horizon. And if they wish to continue with their program and not getting into any agreement, so that's what they will do.
But and surely this time, I mean, it's been a couple of weeks since this whole idea of the negotiation started. Surely this is a strategy, or could be a strategy, of Iran to delay any military activity while they furiously try and perfect this some form of nuclear capability.
Most likely they are not able to do much in this front in the short run.
Right.
But they are threatening, as we witness, they are threatening to close Straits of Hormuz. They are threatening on a regional war, which means that they might attack also oil facilities in Saudi or in the Emirates and so on and so forth. And they're very successful in this respect, that some of the regional players like Saudi and, of course, Qatar and the Emirates are stressing the U.S. Not to attack Iran. Mm. And in this respect, the Iranians are successful.
So do you think that what is the best that can be hoped for out of these negotiations, realistically?
The best is that we'll reach an agreement of basically withholding the Iranian nuclear plan, but not only the nuclear plan, also the ballistic missile plan of Iran, which is a major threat. Not only to Israel, but to the region as a whole. And I think that could be a major achievement. The question is whether Mr. Trump will insist of including the ballistic missile program of Iran into the negotiations. This is something that Israel is stressing Mr. Trump very much, because as we witness, the ballistic missile program might really damage Israel and possibly others as well.
And in fact, realistically, it's probably more dangerous, given that once you use a nuclear weapon, it's game over for everybody. But using ballistic missiles, as we've seen, is something that you can possibly get away with in, you know, during a conventional war.
Yeah, but once indeed, but once the Iranian reach a certain level of thousands of ballistic missiles, and they are able to launch hundreds of them at the same time, their damage, and now they are very precise.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying realistically, they are possibly more dangerous because they are more they're more frequently used, whereas a nuclear weapon is really a weapon of last resort. So it does seem to be it is probably more dangerous. What I find difficult to understand is, no matter what Iran agrees to, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they're going to adhere to. A state that sponsors terror and that can wipe out tens of thousands of its own people who are protesting is not going to have a problem telling a lie. Why do we think that Iran can be believed in anything that they agree to?
You are absolutely right. They are not trustful. And in this respect, a major inspection should take place, if possible. So it's much to President Trump to decide. It's very difficult to envision what his decision will be. Also, based on the results of this round of talks. If an agreement is reached, so Iran, no doubt in this respect, will be the winning side. They'll request, of course, ease of the sanctions or withholding the sanctions altogether. And in this respect, all the efforts of the public and tens of thousands of casualties there and so on will be wasted in this respect, because at the end we would like to see also this evil regime falling. And if the world can facilitate the people of Iran to reach this end, that can be a real achievement.
That is where we do need to leave it. It's really so interesting, but also really frightening, because we stand at this point with very little idea as to how this is going to play out. That's Dr. Amit Mor. He's the CEO of Eco Energy Financial and Strategic Consulting. He's a senior lecturer at Reichman University in Herzliya.